Stay where you are. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for... Oh,
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Wow, isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting?
You get better and better every week, Palmer.
I get all excited. I get chills up my leg, everything when I say things like that.
Every week you get better and better. Betterer and betterer.
Well, there's only one way to go.
And that's Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
Yeah, we do.
So absolutely.
So you want to make something of it?
No.
Okay.
We love him.
You're trying to attack me, boy. Hey, Fino, we have Fino Giordano here today.
And we love Fino.
Oh, yeah. We love Fino big time. He's trying to pick on me. He's trying to tell me, Fino, that he loves Jesus. He doesn't let me in on it.
I always let you in on it, but you know, you're a little bit of a bully.
I love listening to the two of you.
Thank you, Fino.
You know, I don't know how to tell you this. You have to get a life.
Because I know you're both kidding.
Oh, yeah. We're kidding, all right.
Well, we have Fino Giordano here, and Fino is well known all over Long Island for so many things that he has done, in particular with Medjugorje, and now with Betania 13. And what a perfect opportunity to get him here and let him share so many of the things that have happened to him over the years.
Oh, by the way, it's not only an opportunity, it's an honor and a pleasure to get you here. Wow. It
but
really is.
Fino, don't feel so
Thank
honored
you.
Because he says that to every guest. he doesn't miss a chance.
I know you're just being nice because no. I didn't know I'm well known. I didn't know I'm honored. I don't know any of that stuff.
Oh, you know you're well known.
No, I really don't. I really don't. I try to keep behind the scenes. Yeah.
How Fino. Many years with Medjugorje?
I've been, it started in 1984. So it's 27 years.
Wow.
I was asked to help out with Medjugorje by a fellow by the name of Father Ed Wade from Steubenville. And ever since then, I've been with Medjugorje and now Betania. And I, by the way, I got to admit, three times I tried to leave the position.
Well, thank God you didn't.
Yeah.
How many people have gone to Medjugorje?
Well, it's millions now.
Millions.
Millions. Millions.
You know? And it's such a wonderful, wonderful experience. We have this gentleman here who helps us out, Peter. And he went to Medjugorje in 2005. And without knowing what we were going to talk about today,
yes.
he brought in some sand, some ground,
yes.
and some stones
for
Medjugorje.
For Medjugorje, yes.
So I think Mary's kind of blessing us.
Yeah.
Way back, I brought in some of the visionaries. I brought in, most people forget that the original visionary was Milka. Most people don't know who she is.
Yes.
She was the first one to see Mary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed at my home as well as many of the other visionaries that I brought here. And the only reason why I went, as many of you know, I've been studying apparitions to this date, almost 40 years. So when I heard that she was appearing there, I had to go. And of course, you have behind your mind that maybe you're going to see her. It didn't happen. But I saw miraculous things as far as I'm concerned, yeah.
Yeah, but you would if you're talking to a visionary,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's approved or not, you say, wow, this is somebody special.
Yes, particularly if they've been talking to our Holy Mother.
Right.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is amazing, yes.
And wow, you know, I would feel the same way as you. Over the years,
yes.
in terms of really feeling such a special thing, I'm wondering if Mary was going to appear while you were talking.
Well, one of the visionaries, the boy Ivan, who stayed at my house when I was here, he had the room that he slept in. He was talking to our Holy Mother in my home. Yeah,
and
at the time.
There may be listeners who don't know about Medjugorje.
I was just going to suggest that.
Maybe you should tell them, Tony.
Well, I think Fino is more appropriate to talk about Medjugorje, where the apparitions have been going for 31 years now.
1981, I think
Yeah, so, Fino.
I was there many times. I started in 1984, and I brought many pilgrims there. And I've seen many wonders and many wonderful things.
And it's the vision of Mary.
Yes.
Vision of Mary who came to several young children.
Yes.
and still to this day comes to them at certain times.
Yes. Well, not to all of them, but she comes to some of them
now,
depending. Yeah.
Yeah. If they receive, they receive 10 messages. Once they receive 10 messages, she no longer appears to them except maybe on their birthday or in a certain feast day that she told them that she would appear to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest things that I always got a kick out of how she started all this. She went back to the drawing board and said, God exists. She meant nothing about Jesus or anything
mm-hmm.
because we're living in a godless world today.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing she said, God does exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then she slowly went into Jesus Christ and the whole apparitions. When I study apparitions and make sure they're authentic, they're Christ-centered and they're Eucharistic-centered.
Yep.
They had nothing to do with the visionaries. The visionaries are just spokespeople. They're signs.
Yeah, they're instruments.
That's right.
All. Mm-hmm. People mm-hmm. don't look at them as something special. They are special in
a way.
Well,
they're special because they were selected.
Yes, but that you don't adore them. We don't praise them. We don't. They tell us, oh, no, you praise God.
And there are messages that are given in terms of praying the rosary regularly.
Yes. Number one.
Going mm-hmm. to confession at least once a month.
Yes.
And receiving Eucharist daily if you can.
Yes.
Yes. And especially for prayers.
Yes.
The Blessed Mother is constantly asking for prayers.
For the conversion of the world.
For the conversion of the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. I just want to bring this up. That at one point one of the visionaries asked, the Blessed Mother, why did you select me to see you? Why did you select me to be a visionary? Why did you select us to be a visionary? And I guess you know what the answer
was. What's the answer, Tony?
The answer was from the Blessed Mother, well, I don't always select the best.
I can assure you that is true.
That, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's so encouraging
to
know that we got a shot.
And we also have part of the program to be devoted to Maria Esperanza.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And Maria also had visions and was a mystic, a really approved mystic.
She was one of the mystics. There are, by the way, I did some research. There are quite a few mystics in the church.
Yes.
And she was one of them, but she probably, in my eyes, her and Padre Pio were the most powerful mystics.
Yes.
And I believe, yes.
And it's been written by many people who write about these things that she's probably equal to, if not beyond, Padre Pio in the mystical attributes that she possessed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get involved in that because her mystical powers are very interesting.
They're totally amazing.
But, you know, it is interesting because there are people right now in the world besides Medjugorje who have visions of the Blessed Mother on a regular basis.
Yes.
And some of these are approved, some of these are not, and the church's position is it's personal until it finally is approved.
Yes.
But
most of them are fake.
Yeah.
Most, I mean, you have to be very careful.
That's right.
Very, very careful.
And
right?
You studied these kinds of
things. Yes. And after studying them for 40 years, I would say like 99% are fake.
Mm-hmm.
For all different reasons, some for popularity, some for money, some people are just not mentally well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be, and I'm a doubting Tom, so I look at it from that perspective. In fact, I was inspected by the diocese 3 times
mm-hmm.
to see if I was normal, and they found out maybe I am.
You know, I'm so glad that they found that you were normal. They're still inspecting me, and they haven't figured it out after all these years.
Well,
I don't blame the diocese for checking me out.
I thought you were going to say for checking me out.
All of us. You know, it's their job.
That's right.
I mean, you can't have people going around. I remember when I was, many years ago, I had to go down to the first time, that goes back about 25 years ago. They were telling me about people who are seeing visions on Long Island or having visions on Long Island. One woman was saying she had 2 virgin births. And she had a following right here on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, you got to be very careful. You got to be very careful.
Yes. But now you actually study these visions, right? And what are the criteria that you? What is the criteria that you use for, in your mind, determining if they're fake or if they're real or if they have some validity to it? Or do you?
Well, as the church does, you got to find out if they're mentally sound, if it's Christ-centered. If there's no money involved,
mm-hmm.
The fruits. That's how I went. And that's how the church generally judges it also. And it takes many years to study that. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the case of Maria Esperanza, they sent detectives from the Vatican, two at a time, to watch her for years, like 20, 25 years. They sent different people all the time watching every move she makes. And, of course, now that her canonization is in process, they're still investigating everything. So it's a very good idea. Because
what were the visions that she had?
Well, it started when she was...
We're talking now about Maria Esperanza.
Maria Esperanza. Her vision started before she was born. Her mother prayed for a girl. She had three boys. And she promised to the Blessed Mother, if I have a girl, I'm going to name her Maria Esperanza. That means after you and hope.
Mm-hmm.
So Maria Esperanza means Mary Hope.
Mm-hmm.
She was born very sickly. She was always very sick. She had all kinds of heart problems, pneumonia, all kinds of things. And at the age of 5 years old, when her mother was going away on a boat, Saint Teresa, the little flower, appeared to her and threw her a rose. And that's the first time things happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave the rose to her mother. Mother said, where'd you get this rose? There's no roses around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it started. She started having all her mystical scenarios starting at 5 years old. And it goes on and on and on. If you wanted, before I came, I tried to put together in a condensed form a whole life in 5 minutes.
Date.
You want me to do it?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Because our listeners would love to hear it.
Okay.
You know, people are, just as you were interested in studying visionaries for 40 years.
Yes.
So are our listeners, because they're looking for help and contact with God in special ways.
What I'll do then is I'll bring it right up to 1993, where she visited Long Island. Okay. She asked me to come here.
Okay.
And by the way, that's where the show where you might want to go from there.
Well, yeah, but I want to get into that because you have a very interesting life. You have a multifaceted life as far as I'm concerned, but I want to get into each facet as we go along. But let's talk about Maria.
Yes. All right, I'll do this real quick by date.
Take your time.
Go ahead.
Take my time. She was born in 1928.
Right.
November 22nd. The Feast of Saint Cecilia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
5 years old was her first visitation from the little flower. And the little flower was with her most of her life. At 12 years old, she got pneumonia and almost died, but a lady appeared to her and told her what medication to take, and she got better. In her teens, she almost died again. She was fed intravenously, but Jesus and Mary appeared to her, and Jesus said to her, "You are my white rose of love." And they told her, life will be for you full of trials, purgation, but mostly humility. Our Lady said to her, you will have many sufferings, as me, a mother also. Help me save the world that has gone astray. Her mystical attributes started in her teens. It became evident that she could read hearts. She could see the future. She forecasted the World Trade Center disaster. Even people who came to visit her that were sick and didn't know it, she would tell them, you better do this and do that. By location, because she was very close to Padre Pio. When she would go to Italy, he demanded she come and see him, or he'd go see her. And if they couldn't meet, they would meet by location. Padre Pio was her private spiritual director. She levitated. When the children were small, they would go into her room, and they would cry as little children. She had six girls and one boy. And as she was praying, she would be 4 or 5 feet off the floor, and they began to cry and pull her down. Mommy, mommy. Another time, she got the stigmata, and I'll go through that later. Later, too, she had the worst problem of all, which was the most mystical part of her life, where a rose grew out of her chest 16 times in her life, and she went through great pain. I personally asked her why when I spent the day with her. All she did was me smile. She never told anybody. That has been filmed. And after her canonization, all this will come out. In 1994, Maria entered a convent. But the little flower appeared to her and said, this is not going to be your vocation. He says, you're going to go into the world and help our Lord as a mother. You will raise 6 girls and 1 boy. Again, St. Teresa handed her another rose, but this time the rose pricked her hand. And that's when the stigmata started with Maria Esperanza, which she had most of her life, the hidden one, but it came out exposed during the Passion. November 1st, 1995 was the day she met her husband, which was foretold to her by St. John Bosco years before. Mm-hmm. October 13th of 1956, the Blessed Mother told her that she would be married in the chapel of the Immaculate Conception in St. Peter's Basilica, and so it came to be. 1974, Maria and her husband purchased the land in Batania 1 in Venezuela, where the Blessed Mother told her what the land was going to look like and what she was to look for in order to purchase this land. And she found it, and they purchased it. And that's where now Batania 1 is, the refuge. It's a refuge for families and children under the title of Our Lady of Reconciliation of All Peoples and All Nations, a place of prayer. And I'll get into what Batania means. Now, it was in 76, March 25th, when the Blessed Mother started appearing to Maria over and over in Batania. But the main date was March 25th, 1984, when hundreds of people saw Our Lady as Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. She appeared as our title, as our Mother Queen of Peace. We say we are Our Lady Queen of Peace, a coalition of all Marian devotions. She appeared there as all Marian devotions, which gave us more or less security in her name when we did that. And that day on March 25th, 1984, she came 7 times, mostly the whole day, people witnessed seeing Our Lady. That's the difference between, say, Medjugorje and Batania. Here, thousands of people began to see her. In Medjugorje, every once in a while you see other people, once in a while I do see Our Lady. But it was only the visionaries in Medjugorje that saw Our Lady. By the way, it was also March 25th, 1984, that John Paul II dedicated Russia and the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It was on that same day. Mm-hmm. Which I accept. Some people don't accept that. If the Pope said it did, I believe John Paul II. Mm-hmm. 1987.
Me too.
Yeah, thank you. 1987, November 21st, is when the apparitions were approved. And the person in charge at that time was Cardinal Ratzinger, who accepted the approval as head of the Doctrine of the Faith.
Okay.
Now, December 8th, 1991, in Batania, something big happened. During a Mass in Batania, a host turned into the body and blood of Christ, literally, which is now, you can go see that. I saw it when I went to Batania. 1991 is the year that Maria Esperanza died. Oh, from 19 to her death, Maria was told, she was from 1991 up until her death, is when the Blessed Mother told her, now I want you to travel the whole world to tell the message of love under Our Lady, Reconciler of Peace to all nations and all peoples. And she did that. She went all over the world, and now there are 16 Batanias around the world. And then in 1993 was the big time where I got to meet her and Long Island got to meet her in 1993, where I had her, I set up a place for her to give her talk at St. Paul's Church in
Brookville.
Thank you. And they gave me 4 days to do this. I said, 4 days? But we filled the church. Over 1,000 people showed up. And what happened there, many miraculous things happened with the people there. And I even written about that in our newsletter. Now, on August 7th, Maria died in New Jersey. She was 77 years old. In 2010, January 31st, was the opening of the cause of her canonization in Metuchen? Is that how you pronounce that? New Jersey, at St. Francis Assisi Cathedral.
Metuchen.
In New Jersey. Right. You were there, I think. Did you go there?
Yes.
That's when the canonization.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was one of the most glorious days I've ever seen in my life. Well, and since that time, a lot has happened. because now two of her children, allegedly, are receiving locutions and apparitions, but very strong. One of her daughters, two of her daughters, Maria, they're all, the first names all begin with Maria. Maria Gracias and Maria Coromoto are now receiving locutions and apparitions from her mother, allegedly. And it's Maria Coromoto, which we call Coro, who's been to my home many times, and I've witnessed apparitions with her and locutions. And I will say this, she did have an apparition of Long Island, and particularly the area that we're in, Suffolk and so on and so forth. She said, this is a very holy area,
yes.
Which I was really amazed when she said that. I won't go through the whole description, but one day one person asked, did she mean all of Long Island or that one area? I've just got an email from her two or three days ago. She's now in New Jersey because her daughter just had their third child, a little girl. And one day I want to ask her if she meant all of Long Island or a special area, because people ask me that question. Mm-hmm. And she would tell me. If you want, I could go on.
Well, I would.
What
like
happened from that day in 1993?
Yeah, yeah. We get to that. But
you
I want to
talk about Batania.
Yes. No, but before you do that,
yes.
We have listeners who say, come on.
Yeah, well, of course.
You got to be kidding. Get real, will you? A rose coming out of it. Come on. Yeah. You know? Well, And she sees the Blessed Mother. And how can you possibly validate all these things?
That's a great thing.
Can I jump in there, Palmer? I personally spoke to the daughter of the interpreter of Maria Esperanza at one of the Batania meetings. And she's so, the daughter is so gracious and so spiritual and loving. And she actually told me that as a child, while her mother was interpreting for Maria Esperanza, she herself saw the rose start to grow out of Maria Esperanza's chest. It started like a little thing growing out of her chest, a little bigger, like a bud, and then it opened up, and it bloomed, and it had all these little water spouts on it, and it was beautiful. But in the process of the growth of the rose, she was in pain.
Terrible pain.
She was suffering in pain, but she said as a child, she just thought that was a normal thing.
Yeah.
She didn't realize what was going on.
That's very good that you noticed that, Tony. When I spent time with the family, they lived in a supernatural state. They thought that everything that was happening in their family happened to everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
And Maria Esperanza, I would say to them, and she would take her finger and circle it around her ear and say, don't go telling everybody what goes on here because they're all going to think you're nuts.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's exactly what the people who don't believe would say.
Absolutely.
You're off your rocker.
You know, I met a physician when I went up to Lowell, Massachusetts, right? Because I drove up there. When I heard Maria was going to come there, I said, wow, after all these years of studying apparitions, I got to go see a live one. And this doctor got up to speak. He says, look, I didn't believe in any of this stuff. I'm a physician. I'm a scientist. The human body and vegetation do not exist together.
Mm-hmm.
Until one day I was with Maria Esperanza, and she went into this situation, and he actually watched the rose grow out of her chest. He now runs Batania 7 in Peru, and he's already built a hospital in her name.
And you know, people focus on the rose or focus on other things, but really, like you said, it's about the Eucharist, it's about Jesus, and it's about the fruits of whatever that person has begun.
Thank you. That's the main thing.
It's so important to focus on that.
Exactly. During her investigation, the vice pastor, Father Byerly, who I deal with all the time, he travels with them and watches everything. Because during this investigation, all this visionary stuff is immaterial.
Doesn't mean anything.
Nothing.
Because it's all personal and
exactly.
It can't be validated. Go ahead.
Exactly. It's her life, the fruit, what she has to say. Are there any contradictions to the teachings of the church? And is what she's saying valid in order to approve her? The apparitions have been approved, but she has not been approved.
No.
Yeah.
In August, I went to see Myrna Nazur, who who is from Damascus, Syria.
Yes.
And Myrna has visions, and she has the stigmata, and she has a number of things. And she makes the point, they are totally unimportant. Her message is unity in the love of God across religions.
Yes.
And she said all these other trappings are just a way to validate or authenticate or to get people's attention.
Yes.
And so, you know, you have something very special here that you're working with, the Betania.
Yes.
And tell people in the audience, what is this Betania?
Betania means Bethany.
Bethany.
Bethany, in Scripture, is where Jesus went as a refuge for peace, quiet, to be with friends, to pray with. What happened in Betania? He raised Lazarus from the dead.
He brought joy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I knew he raised Lazarus from the dead, but I didn't know it was Bethany.
Yes. And Bethany is what our Lady told her will be a place of refuge all over the world. Now, there are 16 Betanias around the world already.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a place where families and people can go as a refuge from the world, because things are going to get even worse.
Yes.
And at least that's what's been predicted. And you can go there and find peace. You are convinced of that. And that's what this place is for.
Mm-hmm.
It's to bring peace to these people, a place to go. The different Betanias around are developing the land and buildings where these people can go. I'm praying that we get a benefactor that will develop this Bethany here on Long Island, which Maria Esperanza had the vision, where thousands of people will come for peace and become there as a refuge to escape the world and to come there and pray.
You know, and we don't know what God is going to be doing in the world. And there may be events that are going to transpire created by man or that will make things very, very, very untenable.
Yes.
And those havens should be in place for people to go to receive peace.
You hit it on the head. That's exactly what it's for. Mm-hmm. Exactly what it's for. And remember, Maria is hope.
Mm-hmm.
She also says at that time where there'll be great strain and difficulties, she also said things are going to be wonderful.
Afterwards.
Things afterwards. She says it's going to be wonderful. The changes in science, in health, production, it's going to be wonderful because everything now is going to be Christ-centered.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Revelations, it says that Jesus is going to return and rule in peace for 1,000 years, although it doesn't really mean 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that peace is going to come in the hearts of people all over the world.
Yeah.
And if they can go to havens like this with the turmoil going around them, it'll be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, this Betania was also, I think that I read somewhere that Maria was concerned about a refuge for the homeless also, and a refuge for the children.
Children and families, is the emphasis.
Right.
And because you see what's happening to families today.
Because they're just scattering all over the place.
Look what's happening in America.
Right.
I mean, it's no longer husband and wife.
Absolutely.
Everything's broken up. So in the drug situation.
Well, everything is not broken up.
Yeah.
They're still husband and wife. It's a percentage, a small percentage.
Well,
you know, we don't want to emphasize the small percentage when the majority are married.
But I fear because we've already said that it's not husband and wife anymore. I mean, one group of people are saying that it's normal to have man, wife, wife, or man, wife, wife.
Absolutely. But the point that I want to bring up also is that the movement of Betanias throughout the world have a structure. They definitely have a structure and they definitely have a purpose.
Yes.
And the structure is to give refuge and to give solace to those that are going to need it.
Exactly.
And to those that need it.
Exactly.
Now it's the building foundation. It's just laying the foundation right now. Yeah. It's very small.
Yeah.
But the vision is that there will be Betanias all over the world in order to offer refuge to those that are going to need it.
Yes.
And it's just starting. I mean, it's like you have your Betania.
I get frustrated because I think things are getting tough. And I say, I want to hurry up and see this place. But I said, it's all in God's time.
In God's time.
Yeah.
And it's also one avenue of refuge. you know, Jesus and God, the Father and the Spirit, they're so vast.
Yeah.
They can give hundreds of avenues for
absolutely.
Peace.
It's not the only one.
No. Absolutely. Sure.
But it's,
a wonderful way to keep before the world, hey, guys, you have no idea what's going to happen down the line.
Yes.
But we're following a power that does. And that power is telling us we have a need for centers of peace,
mm-hmm.
refuge. And that's going to become more and more important as things progress. Yes. Look at our world.
Yeah.
Look at the wars. Look at the problems. Look at all the refugees that have been sent out away from Damascus, Syria, just to get away. You know, and
we have a tremendous poverty situation in the United States.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Now, Fino, if any of our listeners are interested in the Britannia movement,
mm-hmm.
and there are 16 of them throughout the world, how can they get involved? How can they get to
they can
become
contact,
part of it?
Yeah, they can contact either you or I. They can contact your station, contact us. I could give you a phone number. They can contact me direct if that's...
No, I don't think you want to do that, but I think going through Listen Up.
You can go, you can email us. You can
email
us at listenup1240 at AOL.com. And we respond to all emails immediately.
Is it 1240?
Yeah. Listenup1240 at AOL.com.
Yeah, if you want to they'll contact us and we'll help you. Although we do meet, if I can say this.
Yeah.
Right now it's St. Francis in Greenlawn.
Yeah.
The next meeting will be November 5th at 7 o'clock.
And if somebody wants to find out about that, they can come.
Yeah.
It really is a significant piece of work that you've been given to do. And you know it. And I know you feel the weight of it at times.
Yeah.
But really laying the foundation and the groundwork for refuge centers for things that we do not yet see having a need is so important. I think of Noah building an ark in a desert for when the floods came.
Thank you.
And people laughed at him.
Right.
And
that's
gave him a
heart. That's exactly
how
I feel.
Good.
Very good.
Now,
very good, John.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
That's great, Dr.
Because
Palmer.
Sometimes I want to run away. He says, God,
what
do you want me to do?
Wait, we got to bring out a point, Dr. Palmer.
Uh-oh.
You may or you may not know that Fino is the spiritual child of Maria Espinosa.
Yeah. That
Am
was
I
an interesting story. That was an interesting story.
Do we have a minute that we can hear that story?
We have plenty of time. We're leaving our agenda behind. We're just going.
We're just going. And
all
Jesus is leading us, and Maria's here.
When Maria
because
came
it's that
to,
important.
Yeah, when Maria came to Long Island in 1993, after she had the talk, the following day, I got a phone call. Maria Espinosa wants to spend the day with you. Now, I was working, and I really had to say to myself, gee, I got to give up a day? Now, I know of how many people would think, say Padre Pio called you up and says, I want to spend the day with you. How many people would run at the opportunity?
Yeah. If he does it now, I'd run.
Yeah. So I was hesitant because, as I said, I'm a doubting Tom, and I said, okay, I'll go. So that day, and I'll get to what Tony had to say, and Maria Espinosa, from the beginning of the day, she held my arm or my hand and gave me lessons all day. We went to St. Patrick's Cathedral. She gave me a big lesson there. I'll say that one quick. She says, Fino, learn how to keep one foot on the earth and one foot in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to keep both feet in heaven, you'll become a fanatic and you'll be worth nothing.
That's right.
And evidently, if both feet on the ground, that means you're worldly and you're finished. All I could think of to saying to Maria Espinosa was, Maria, my problem is I change feet. Which means both feet hit the ground every so often. You're following, I have to end up going to confession. So she smiled. Then we went to the shrine of Our Lady, of Mother Cabrini. Maria Espinosa, very close to Mother Cabrini. Many stories I could relate to you about her relationship with Mother Cabrini, how she traveled with Mother Cabrini would come from heaven and travel with her on her missions around the world when she had to go alone. Then we came home. I read him cutting this short, and we went to dinner. Now, this is what you mentioned. We went to dinner at a big restaurant in New York City. Her whole family was there. It was about 20, 25 people at the table. And before we started dinner, another couple came. Now, this man at that time was the number one promoter for Michael Jackson, Frank Sinatra, and those people. Whenever they came to New York, he would set everything up. Now, they were offering, and I sat there with this conversation, they were offering Maria Esperanza the opportunity to go to Radio City Music Hall for 3 days with the choir, and how he would set it up, and he says, I will fill it up for you.
The choir from Batania.
Batania 13. Mm-hmm. They have a beautiful choir.
Outstanding.
The music is unbelievable. So after they finished speaking, there's also a funny story to this, too. Maria Esperanza looked at me and said, Fino, what do you think of the idea? In broken English. And I said, Maria, if you did this, you would lose all credibility. Because I have this inner feeling you can't mix money and God. There's no way. It doesn't work. She looked at me and smiled and said, this is why you are a spiritual son of mine. And that's how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say something. 18 years later, her daughter was in my home with her father and the vice postulator, and we went through this conversation. Of course, she was a little girl at the time, a young girl at the time. And she smiled at me, and she went through this whole thing. There's one thing I will say extra about The Rock. She said, Fino. I looked at her. This is Maria Coromoto, who receives the locutions from her mother. She says, Fino. My mother wasn't asking you for advice. She was testing you. I was so humiliated, but with joy.
Oh.
I said, here she's talking to Jesus, Mary, the angels, the saints. She needs Fino for advice, a nobody. So I laughed. I said, oh, my God, she was just testing me. Now, at that time, when we were at the dinner table, I think this is what you also enjoyed. Here we are, 20-some-odd people at the table. I went to the end so she could be with her family.
Right.
And there were about five or six servers waiting on the table. All of a sudden, I saw all the people at the table, her children, her father, the husband, all with their hands folded on the table and looking at their hands. I thought they were praying. No, they weren't. Maria had her head up, and above my head was appearing the Blessed Mother in a restaurant. And she's having a conversation. I'm looking around. I'm the only one with my head moving around at all the other tables, which were full of people. Nobody looked at the table. Nobody. And this went on for about 10 minutes at least. And you know what? Not one waiter or waitress came to the table for 10 minutes. I said, what's going on here? Doesn't anybody see what's going on?
No.
You're right,
no,
John.
They don't.
After it was over, and years later, I said, you know what? We weren't there.
You know, I want to also bring out something for the listeners. Now, this sounds like science fiction, fairy tale stuff.
You got to understand how I felt.
I'm sure. But we just did Faustina a week or two ago. And prior to all of her things emerging, she was criticized like anything else. The same with Padre Pio.
Yeah.
He's nuts for many years. Padre Pio couldn't do anything.
He couldn't say
the
mass.
Church shut him down.
Yeah, shut him down.
You know, and because it was so weird.
Yes.
But as things emerge, as I'm sure they will, as Maria undergoes investigation, people began to say, wow, he did this and he did that and he did this. And they'll say the same about Maria as long as the investigations continue and work out fruitfully.
She has her adversaries. You can believe that. I'll finish this up.
Go ahead.
After it's over, all of a sudden the waiters found the table, and people saw we were there. Anyhow, then they ask, Mom, what did you talk about? Because they're used to this as little children. They just accept it as normal to them. They live the supernatural life as normal. And then Maria said something, and I'm going to say something that the postulator says, Fino, you got to be careful about this story. But I'm going to say this, because if it happens, you can say you knew it before it happened. It's better for you to know it than say, oh, she predicted this to me 25 years ago. But now I'm going to tell you what happened after that. After she explained to the children and her family what the Blessed Mother and she spoke about, she looked at Fino, me, and she said, Fino, and her eyes get this very penetrating eyes. And she re-envisioned a vision she saw during the time of she was talking to Our Lady. And she said, you, Fino, I see you on a rock with water all around you. And she studied for a second as she was looking into space. And she said to me, Fino, I don't know what it means now, But when that time happens, I'll be with you. Hmm. Well, I didn't sleep for nights. I didn't want to believe it. I said, this is private revelation. You don't have to believe this. And then a priest called me, Father Ed McDonough.
He's Father Ed.
Yeah. Father Ed. He was a healer, yep. Healing priest.
Sure.
I knew him fairly well.
We had Paul Miller on the show, mm-hmm. and Paul had worked with Father Ed. Go ahead.
There you go. There you go. I know Miller too.
Fino knows Paul.
And he says, Fino. He talks with this strong voice. He says, Fino, I understand you spent the day with Maria Esperanza. I said, yes. How did you feel? I said, Father, I was in turmoil, uncomfortable, and I felt, I didn't know what to think. I couldn't even sleep. He says, I did too, and I felt the same way. Uh-huh. Now, here's a holy priest, and I'm a nobody, literally a nobody, felt the same way. He made me feel much better mm-hmm. after he said that to me. Of course, he's gone now. Yes. Father Ed is gone. And I tried to forget about it until it came back into my life later when they came to us again many years later and said, Fino, we want you to do this on Long Island. And they only give this to people after they converse with their mother in heaven. Mm-hmm. So how do you say no? I tried to get out of it at that time. And one nun, she said, Fino, I said to them, I think I'm too old. She said, you're not too old. You're going to do it. Okay, here I am.
and you're still doing it.
I'm still doing it.
Want people to know again that the meeting place for Britannia 13, our Mother Queen of Peace, is at St. Francis of Assisi Church in Green Lawn, New York. And the next meeting is Monday, November 5th, mm-hmm. and at 7 p.m.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if people who are listening think we're crazy, so what? Come over to a meeting
yeah.
and see yeah. how valid and solid the people are.
Yes.
And before we let you off the hot seat.
That's what I am.
I know. You do well, because I have something I really want you to talk about. Really? And that's the newsletter, okay. Our Mother Queen of Peace Times, that
yes.
you put out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you tell us how this evolved and how people can get copies? I know you're being asked for copies because in this one, the Pope is talking about voting for a pro-choice candidate is a mortal sin.
Yes.
And people are looking at that.
Yes.
And you're getting requests. But tell them about the newsletter and how this evolved and what would be in it if somebody wanted to get it.
And how can they get it?
Well, yes. Again, they can contact you. All right.
Okay.
They call you, Tony Cioffo, by the way.
I'll give you my cell.
He is the vice president of all this. So if I go, he generally takes over. We've spoken about this because I'm not the most healthy guy in the world with heart disease, a little cancer here and there.
Mm. He's not so hot either.
I know. He's not the healthiest.
Palm will tell you about me, but so, if you're interested, you can call myself, 516-712-7005, and we'll be on it right away.
Yes, and we'll mail you the newsletter.
512-7005. Because I know over the years you had this focusing on Medjugorje and now have moved into the Britannia, which is a natural evolution.
Yes.
But people who might be interested in knowing more, call Tony and let's
see. And we'll see to it that they get a copy of the newsletter and we'll
say
answer all questions.
Again. What's your number?
516-712-7005. I promise to return all calls.
Now, I can't leave any discussion about Mary or about any without a song, Trevor. Trevor, are you with us? You want to put number two on?
I was hoping you were going to get to that.
Well, because we have some music yes. from Dana. And this is
beautiful.
Who we love.
Yes, and Dana. And the song is Ave Maria Immaculata. It's a beautiful song. She wrote it.
Gentle dove, pray for us.
just love the song. It's just so soothing, and it brings the peace of Mary into the program. And you can feel her presence here, can't you?
Doesn't Mary always bring peace?
Absolutely. That's why we have the Queen of Peace Times.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I will mention, to add to that peace, I'm hoping that Maria Esperanza becomes the patron saint of Long Island, being a Spanish lady. And here we are in a community, Long Island, that has, I think the majority are now a Latino.
Yes, but also she professed her dear love for Long Island.
Exactly. That's why she came here often.
She loved Long Island.
Yeah, that's why she came here so often.
And she died in Long Island.
Well, she died in New Jersey.
Oh, Jersey, I'm sorry. But she came for Long Island.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, she had a friend in New Jersey that she would stay with.
Right.
She would come to Long Island. She'd go to Jones Beach, different areas. She even went to Roosevelt Field.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to go right into a little story of another saint, St. Rose of Lima.
St. Rose
and
of Lima.
Tony
yeah.
is so frothing at the mouth. He can't wait to talk about it.
And St. Rose of Lima was decided upon, by the way, listeners, at about 9:30 this morning. So, but it just so happened that she's also featured in Fino's newsletter, and which I'll mention quickly, but I'll give you the short version of St. Rose of Lima.
I don't believe you.
Yes, I will. St. Rose of Lima was so beautiful, exquisitely beautiful. People fell in love with her just by looking at her. But guess what? She didn't want to be beautiful. She didn't want people to say how beautiful she was. She only wanted people to say that Jesus was beautiful. So what did she do? She wore a crown of thorns on her head to possibly think she was going to be disfigured and people wouldn't be admiring her.
I didn't know that.
Yes. She did not want the beauty that God gave her. And so why did Rose believe so oddly? In her mind, it was simple. She wanted everyone to love and praise Jesus and no one else. And certainly she didn't want people to love and praise her. She also wanted to give up any beauty that she had. She would gladly give it up to serve Jesus. So although she loved her parents and wanted to obey them, she refused to get married, as all parents want their children to do. One thing she did do to please them, however, was needlework. She was so extremely good at sewing and doing jobs with her hands to help support the family that she did it gladly. Then she read a book about St. Catherine of Siena, who most of us know well. She decided she wanted to copy her way of life. She did this in a strange way also. She got her brother to help her build a garden shed. She called this her ghetto. And from then on, she lived in it all the time. And she spent the time praying and started going without food 3 times a week. She believed that many people cared very little about Jesus, and that upset her. Because she wanted with all her heart, people to love Jesus. She also believed that she can make up for their thoughtlessness and her carelessness by suffering pain and hardship. So she found ways of deliberately hurting herself. She wore gloves full of needles. She slept on a pile of bricks. She made her hands rough, and then she cut off all her hair. It is not surprising that many people thought she was a little
nuts.
You jumped right in. You jumped right in there. That's his favorite word. That's his livelihood.
I get it.
Well, I mean, I have trouble believing all these things. Go ahead.
And many of them tried to persuade her to live normally. Others just laughed at her. But Rose did many worthwhile things. She helped the people of Lima who were ill or suffering, especially the poor, the native Indians, and the many slaves that the Spanish kept there in those days. Then one day, she made an announcement. She said that the city of Lima would be saved from an earthquake because of her prayers. Immediately she became popular throughout the city. No one thought she was mad anymore. No one seemed to ask whether there have been an earthquake if she hadn't been praying. For 14 years, she continued living a life of deliberate hardship. It was no wonder that it made her body ill and that she died at the early age of 31. Mm. Now, in Fino's newsletter, may I just take another moment to
mention
the article? Do you want to read it?
I'm going to read it.
Well, wait a minute. You're trumping me.
Tough.
Go ahead.
Just to get her sense of what suffering was about, she wanted all men to know that grace comes after tribulation. How many of our listeners are in pain, right? Yes. Let them know that without the burden of afflictions, it's impossible to reach the height of grace. That's hard to tell somebody who's in pain. You know, you're in pain, but you're going to get a lot of grace out of it. And he said, I just want to get out of the pain. Mm. And let them know that the gifts of grace increase as the struggles increase. Let men take care not to stray and be deceived. This is the only true stairway to paradise. And without the cross, they find no road to climb to heaven. Each one of us sitting around this table have had crosses. And each one of us knows that out of our crosses has come grace, has come renewal, has come peace, has come a direction for our lives. Tony, you've had cancer. And you've had troubles in your life in terms of your wife. And Fino, you've had health problems. And I've had two wives die, and I had a son die. So, you know, when you begin to think of the trials that we get, you cannot in any way, shape, or form go through those trials without the grace of God. And one of the things we pray for here, for all the people with all the petitions on the table, that they turn to God or to Mary, who will lead them to her son Jesus. And she never forgets. She never forgets. And Dana has a song. I'm sorry, guys. We're going to finish with a song. And it's the Memorare. And I want listeners to listen to these words. They are truth. Leave it alone. And we pray, Lord, that through Mary you enter into the hearts of our listeners who are suffering with pain and give them the graces they need. Thank you, Mary, for leading them to Jesus.
Not my petitions.
John, I'd like to say a few words about the petitions that we have here. And maybe say a little prayer, and I also like to offer a prayer to all our listeners. But I'll allow you to lead. Would you please lead your prayer?
I'd be happy to. Lord, we thank you for all of these petitions that have been sent in to us. People looking for a way out of the pain, looking for your grace in the pain. So, Jesus, we ask you, if you have any words for our listeners, please, Lord, share them.
And Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thanks for all those that you've cured, all those that you have given solace to, all those that you have taken by your side, and all those you have told them you are their best friend. Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, we thank you for bringing Fino here today. What a blessing you've been for us, Fino. And we thank you for being with us and sharing your experiences about Maria Esperanza. I know our listeners may at times scratch their heads, Tony, when we do things such as this on the radio. But you know, they're part of spiritual life. Like Fino said, you can live in this world, but you have to have a foot in the supernatural world as well, because that's the only way you can keep your sanity. And even though these things sound insane, they aren't. They are quite real. Listeners, we're late, and we're going to be leaving, and we just thank you for listening.
Thank you, and we love you. We love you dearly. Thank you, Fino. We love you also.
It's a pleasure.
And Peter.
Thank you so much. You are truly the rock, Peter. You are truly the rock.
He's our helper.